Gotcha.
AM 1160 The Quest, your Atlantic Catholic Radio, presents The Morning Quest, finding joy in the journey. Now, here's Josh and Allison.
Good morning, Greater Atlanta and beyond. This is The Morning Quest, where we help you find joy in the journey. I'm Josh Harris. We got a little bit of a shakeup today. We got Alessandra at the board. Hello.
Woo-hoo. Good morning.
Good morning. Great morning. And, as usual, Allison DeLuel.
Good morning. Happy Thursday.
Partner in crime.
I know, Josh. And isn't it amazing just
Happy
being partners
Thursday.
In crime? And crime. Enjoy.
Yeah.
Partners in joy. There you go.
That's a lot better sales pitch. I like that.
I agree. I'm like, when I hear crime, I'm like, no, I don't like that.
Yeah, exactly. Well, hey, speaking of joy, the best way to find joy in the journey, one of them certainly is prayer. Allison, do you have a prayer for us?
I sure do. Let's start in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to just glorify you today. You know, we are all in our own places, Lord, and you have a special plan for us today and for our lives. So we just glorify you. We thank you for the gift of life, the greatest of all, and we thank you for the gift of faith. And we just ask you to bless our day, bless our conversations here on the show, and just help us, Lord, just encounter you in a more profound way through the conversations we have today and just through all the different segments, Lord. And we just glorify you for your goodness, and we love you and we praise you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Father, Son, Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. There you go.
Amen.
So, Josh, you are not here with me because I'm looking at your chair and you're not there, but you are here with us in spirit and in conversation. So, tell us, I think you had some type of event last night. How is it going out there?
I did, yes. So, I am in Totopolis, Illinois. Definitely no other place like this on earth, that's for sure. the town is essentially 100% Catholic. And what's interesting, I spoke to the high schoolers and, you know, some people below high school, but primarily high schoolers last night, and packed. I mean, it might have been like 150 kids or something.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was, I mean, I'll tell you how Catholic this town is.
Tell us.
Public school is owned by the church.
Oh, you were saying that yesterday. Yes.
Yeah, exactly. So my talk was actually at the school, and from what I understand, the kids show up early to school and to go to religion class. It's not mandatory, but everybody, it sounds like, shows up anyway, or most people do. So definitely has the faith, you know, baked into the culture here. It went very well, and I'm staying at a Franciscan rectory, so
Ooh.
The church is Franciscan.
Yeah.
Yeah, not the same Franciscan as our archbishop, but definitely there's a lot of different, I guess, sects of Franciscan, the Franciscan order. But yeah, amazing guys. The pastor here was a military chaplain for like over 15 years in the Navy.
Wow.
So we definitely connected, and he was, you know, I was kind of living vicariously through him.
I'm sure you heard a lot of great stories. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Yeah. He talked about being a military chaplain on a submarine, had to go completely submerged 5 days, no contact with the outside world.
Wow.
Pretty cool stories. Yeah. So it's been great. Tonight is a stand-up show for the community. So I'm going to be doing stand-up as well tonight, which is super cool.
Yeah.
And it's been fantastic.
No, that's so cool. So when you were talking to the students last night, what kind of theme was that? Because I mean, if today's a stand-up, or was it a stand-up for high schoolers?
So they were high school. I was, you know, I'll be honest. I mean, those are the toughest crowds, I feel like, you know, if I can get a laugh or a couple of laughs from high schoolers, I am
doing
thrilled.
Good.
But surprisingly, like, I got a lot of laughs from them.
Oh.
I mean, again, it wasn't like I, you know, knocked them, you know, not like I absolutely destroyed in the sense that I would want to for a stand-up show where it's just like people doubling over and laughs. But it went very well. I mean, I think these are like, this is a definitely a more receptive high school audience. These kids are definitely super engaged in their faith and want to be there. It, you know, so it was really good. And once some of my jokes started landing, I was like, oh, nice. I can, like, you know, drop my shoulders a little bit. Because one of the priests was also there. So you don't want to bomb for an hour and then, you know,
was the
good
priest,
night.
Hey, was he laughing too?
I couldn't. He was in the back, so I couldn't see. But I saw him this morning before I went on air.
Yeah.
He's like, that was a fantastic job last night.
Gosh.
Takes a lot of courage. So yeah, and so I couldn't go to the normal mass with them here today. I'm gonna ride with him. He's gonna say mass at the nursing home. So I'm gonna go with him a little bit later after the show. So some good bonding time, for sure. But it's an awesome experience, absolutely. And you know, I've had that where you get up on stage in front of like high schoolers or more like middle schoolers and you just start tanking. Not tanking, but like your jokes tank. Like you just, it's such a generational gap. I mean, look, I'm 40, upper teens, whatever. I mean, it is a pretty wide jump. And it just turns into a hostage situation, at least for me. I'm
like, as you're there on stage, right? You're the hostage. Yeah. You can't go anywhere.
But this was great. This was fantastic. I was really happy with how this went. I think I asked for a blessing from the priest before I hit the stage. And I don't know. It just felt like God hijacked me and it was smooth sailing.
Well, and I love that. And with the priest saying, you know, it's very courageous. I mean, I cannot even imagine doing what you do. I mean, I played sports in high school, right? And when you're out there playing, there are tons of people watching. But man, when you're the only one up there, hats off to you, Josh. You have a gift. And praise Lord, you can share it with others in a clean way that glorifies God.
Yeah. Before I went on stage, I looked at the guy who booked me and I said, and you're cool if I get as edgy as possible, right?
He
just like looked like he had seen a ghost. I was like, I'm
Josh.
Just kidding.
Oh my gosh, Josh. Scaring him, turning him to a ghost.
Yeah, it was a great experience.
Just ahead on the Morning Quest.
We have Michelle Sagarino, president of Cross Catholic Reach, discussing their popular Box of Joy ministry. Hey, remember our scripture of the day, or the week, should I say, Proverbs 12:23. The shrewd conceal knowledge, but the hearts of fools proclaim folly. Our buddy Chet Persner helps us get acquainted with St. Andrew Kim Jin. Pastor Revac from St. Mary Magdalene in Noonan, Georgia, will be unpacking today's gospel. But next, Natalia Ruiz Munoz with the Little Flower Group talks about their ministry and upcoming community baby shower Saturday, September 27th.
Just ahead on the Morning Quest.
I'm having deja vu.
Finding joy in the
You are having deja vu.
This is the Morning Quest with Josh and Allison on your Atlanta Catholic Radio. AM 1160, The Quest.
We are so...
We're joined by Natalia.
Oh, here
go
we
ahead.
Go.
I'm sorry, Allison.
No, Josh, you're the gentleman,
ladies
right?
First.
You're always
I
a
insist.
Gentleman. So, no, I am beyond thrilled. So we are so happy to have Natalia Ruiz here with us. She is a parishioner at Prince of Peace, and she is going to be talking about their Little Flower group and the upcoming community baby shower taking place this Saturday, September 27th. So welcome back to The Quest, Natalia.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Good morning, everyone.
This is a delight.
Yes. We are the Little Flower Group. It's a faith-based children charity, and I think it's rooted in love, resilience, and community. What we do is that we provide children's basic needs to families free of charge, so cribs, diapers, clothing, everything. So what we're doing right now is that we are calling all families and ministries and church groups to join us this Saturday. We're going to have a huge community baby shower for all those beautiful mamas. We are expecting over 60 mamas this Saturday. According to the last roster, we are peaking in the 70s. So if people are willing to come and serve, or if families are looking to serve together, this is a great, great opportunity to do that. Same thing with groups, church groups that they like to celebrate life as well.
Yes.
This is a great opportunity. Or if at their parishes they don't have established a group that is dedicated to mamas and children, this is a great opportunity to do it as well.
Now, that's wonderful. And Natalia, how did the Little Flower Group, how did it come about? How did it start? How was it founded?
It started because of my daughter. She was pregnant. It was no plan. You know how difficult it is when your child comes home with those news. So she chose life. Whereas soon as she told us that she's choosing life, we told her we're going to be walking with her all the way. And it has been since then. Gabriela, our first granddaughter, now is 5. She turned 5 this weekend.
Wow.
And we are very excited because this is thanks to her resilience. When we look how she was struggling as a single mom, that's when we realize, okay, she's not the only one.
Oh,
she must be one of a lot of amazing women looking to that support and love. And she was the reason.
Wow. No, that is so beautiful.
Oh, that's so powerful. Gosh, what a gift, you know, for you to, step up and say, we're going to do this together. That is so heroic. And, you know, by the way, how did the idea for a community baby shower come about? Like, how did this spread and be the thumbprint of this wonderful ministry?
So we serve mamas every month. Every month we get together with them with clothing and diapers and cribs. And we noticed that there is an increase in pregnancy in our community, which we celebrate. When we realized that we were preparing these baby bags every single day, we chose, okay, so I think it's time to have more like a grand event. So what we did is that we collect every month, we collect baby items from the community, churches, families, and then we start cleaning and preparing them, and then we ask them to enroll. We do this twice a year. This is our second one in 2025. And what we do is we enhance then the baby shower. So, for example, we're going to have a presenter that talks about postpartum mental health. We're going to have food. We're going to have a lot of games and prizes for them. And the best part, the blessing of the bellies.
Our deacon will be with us. Oh, my gosh.
And then they are all going to show off their beautiful bellies, and then we're going to have a blessing of the bellies.
Oh, my goodness gracious. That is absolutely amazing. Just hearing
so
that.
I thought that is going to be fun rather than just to keep them a baby back.
No,
we thought it's a really celebration of life.
Oh, my gosh. So, Natalia, how have you seen this ministry impact lives? You know, is there a story that stays with you now or that just jumps out that comes to mind?
On two of them, we work a lot with social workers, and there is, so we work a lot with high schoolers. We had one situation in a baby girl that she was, I believe, in 11th grade, and she was pregnant. She didn't mention anything to her parents until very, very last minute when she was in labor. We have those situations a little too often that we would like to see. So we help not only with the children items, but as well in that connection between mama and in this case, the new grandma. And also we work as well. We try to be the option number one for those mamas that complete their programs at their shelter, women's shelter.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know, but they need to start from scratch pretty much all over.
Wow.
So we like to be always with them to making sure that their kids, they have beds, they have cribs, they have everything that they need to make sure that their children, they have their basic needs.
Oh, my goodness. So you do so much work. It's way beyond just, you know, baby clothes and diapers and things like that.
Yes.
You are with those women, you know, that are, you know, that have a child that, you know, they weren't expecting, right? The blessing that God has given them and walking them through. Wow, what a beautiful witness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And what do you hope families feel or experience? Oh, go. I'm sorry.
No, you say.
I was just going to ask you, what do you hope families feel or experience that when they, you know, attend and walk away from one of these amazing showers you put on?
Oh, my goodness. Love. Tons of love, because being pregnant, it's a lot of mixed feelings.
Yeah.
It's not easy, especially when you are alone, when there is no dad. It feels like the world, it's so tiny and so small and so difficult and so challenging that the first thing that I want them to feel is love, that we celebrate their decisions with them. We want to make sure that they feel the resilience, that they can do this, that they are not alone, that we're going to celebrate with them the baby showers. But in the meantime, when the baby is growing, especially in those toddler years, that we're going to be there for them to help them when needed. But especially that they are not alone.
And I can just, the love exudes from you, Natalia. I don't know if people tell you that, but even over the phone, I'm just like, man, you just have a heart of just service to God and love for God. And so it totally shows. So I'm sure everybody that encounters you and the beautiful group just feels it as well. So how can listeners, So how can listeners help? You know, are there ways to donate, volunteer, or spread the word for this upcoming Saturday's event?
So this upcoming Saturday, we are calling everyone. We have times to volunteer. If you like to volunteer, you can come to Prince of Peace. We're going to be there around 10 a.m. in the morning. The event starts at noon. So if you would like to serve, it's going to be more than 60 mamas that we are expecting. You're more than welcome to come. If you don't have time, but you have a passion for food and would like to share a plate, please, by all means, you can come and drop finger food that we are looking for mamas as well. And if not, then for the next one. We are always looking for donations, financially donations or baby items like bottles, bibs, onesies, new things that we can put in that baby bag for the mamas.
Oh yeah. My goodness.
They can check out our website as well. In our website, there is more information, thelittleflowergroup.org. And you can find more information about to donate time or donate money.
Wow.
That's amazing. For someone inspired by your mission, how can they stay involved and support? Is it thelittleflowergroup.org? Is that what you said?
Yes, thelittleflowergroup.org.
Wonderful.
Fantastic.
Well, Natalia, thank you so much for sharing this beautiful ministry, the Little Flower Group.
Thanks
and next time we speak to you, I can't wait to learn about why it's called a little flower. I know of St. Teresa of Lisieux, so I'm like, I bet there's
sounds
a special
like a
story behind that. So we can't wait to learn that. But again, that website again, Natalia, for all to hear?
www.thelittleflowergroup.org.
Great. And again, they have that community baby shower taking place this Saturday, September 27th at Prince of Peace. So go to their website and check it out. Thank you so much, Natalia, for blessing us with this ministry.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Still to come on the Morning Quest.
Michelle Sagarino, president of Cross Catholic Outreach, discusses their wildly popular Box of Joy ministry. Our buddy Chuck Persner helps us get acquainted with St. Andrew Kim. But next, Father Rivak, pastor of St. Mary Magdalene in Noonan, Georgia, unpacks today's gospel reading.
Dr. Ray Guarendi here. Coming up at 1 this afternoon on AM 1160, The Quest. Join me for The Doctor Is In. But now, it's back to The Morning Quest on your Atlanta Catholic Radio.
It's 8:22. Father Rivak, pastor at St. Mary Magdalene in Noonan, is back, and he is going to be diving into today's gospel. Good morning, Father.
Good morning, Allison. I guess we've chased Josh off.
We have chased Josh off.
Excellent.
He'll be back.
Okay, good. Well, you and me today, this is going to be great. Today we're going to read from the Gospel according to Luke. Herod, the Tetrarch, heard about all that was happening, and he was greatly perplexed because some were saying, John has been risen from the dead. Others were saying, Elijah has appeared. Still others, one of the ancient prophets has arisen. But Herod said, John I beheaded. Who then is this about whom I hear such things? And he kept trying to see him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Cool. So Herod's a sort of an interesting character that you don't really hear too much about in the gospel, but what you do hear, I mean, he's pretty much a jackal. He's just he's a very worldly, very vain, very megalomaniacal. So he's a puppet king under the true reign of the Roman Empire. And so he's like this little, he's got like this Napoleon complex. He's this little man, you know, he's embarrassed every time he goes out into public because he's pretending to be a king and everybody knows he's really not. So, you know, I think he kind of like behaves in that sort of, I have to speak loudly, you know, and sort of
to get
force.
Seen.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. He's just got the little man complex, I think,
yeah.
Politically anyways. And being in this really tenuous governance, this precarious, this fractured foundation of his power, the idea that somebody else powerful is kind of coming in, somebody else who's going to draw more of his power away is really threatening for him, I think. And so he's really perplexed here. And so he keeps trying to see Jesus.
Mm.
And this is a line that you kind of hear in one way or another throughout the scripture, where you have Zacchaeus, right,
mm-hmm.
wants to see Jesus, so he climbs a tree. You have the disciples of John, you know, wanting to see Jesus. You have the Greeks when Philip comes and says the pagans are trying to see Jesus. And Jesus turns his face and said, now is the hour. And he says, I turn my face to Jerusalem because I finally have the attention of the pagans. So there are a lot of people in scripture who are trying to see Jesus.
Yeah.
And here Herod is trying to see Jesus, but it's very different. Just because people know about Jesus doesn't mean they're friends with Jesus, doesn't mm-hmm. mean that they're trying to see him for the right reasons or that they're trying to get to know him for the right reasons. There are a lot of people today who use religion, particularly Christianity, to forward a political gain, which is kind of what Herod is doing here in trying to see Jesus. He wants to see if this magician can be useful to him
mm-hmm.
for his political gain and not for a spiritual freedom, enlightenment, healing, reconciliation, which is what all these other people are looking at him for. And we see this a lot today in politics, where people are trying to use religion to support their political position.
Mm-hmm.
And that is as ignoble and unworthy of the religion as is this desire of Herod to see Jesus in the gospel today. You know, I tell people once in a while, you know, from the homily, anytime sort of a political theme comes up, I say, listen, guys, we cannot be Americans who happen to be Christian.
Mm-hmm.
We have to be Christians who happen to be Americans.
Yes.
Which means we have to let the gospel shape our political expectation rather than having our political partisanship shape our understanding of Christianity and try to use Christianity as a tool for political gain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amen.
Just ended a thought.
Yes. No, that was, and that's so true, Father. Amen to that.
So, Allison, you're probably going to ask me, what are you going to ask me?
I am going to ask you, Father, what's a good takeaway for this gospel for us today? You're on it. You're always on it.
So I think that the takeaway for me is that just because people are throwing around the name of Jesus, just because they're looking for Jesus per se, doesn't mean that they're doing it in the right spirit. Remember, Jesus says, not everybody who cries out to me, Lord, Lord, will be saved,
mm-hmm.
but only those who do the will of the Father. I think we really need to take a look at the way that we live in our own society and ask the question, am I seeking Jesus for him to support my preconceived political opinions, or am I seeking Jesus for him to change them so that I can become more like him?
That is so beautiful. Way to go, Father. Father Rivak, pastor at St. Mary Magdalene in Noonan, thank you so much for blessing us again with this beautiful reflection.
My pleasure, Allison. Great to see you. And I hope Josh is having a great time and being safe wherever he's at.
Amen. It is 8:27, and from the Catholic News Agency, Italy is moving closer to restoring the feast day of St. Francis of Assisi as a national holiday. On Tuesday, the lower house of parliament overwhelmingly approved the proposal with 247 votes in favor and only two against. The bill now heads to the Italian Senate, where it's widely expected to pass. If approved, October 4th, the feast of Italy's beloved patron saint, would once again be nationwide day off, as it was until 1977. The timing is especially meaningful. 2026 will mark 800 years since St. Francis's death. Lawmakers say the holiday would receive his timeless message of peace, humility, and care of creation.
Later on the Morning Quest.
Michelle Sagarino, president of Cross Catholic Outreach, discusses their wildly popular Box of Joy ministry. But next, our buddy Chip Persian helps us get acquainted with St. Andrew Kim Tae-jin.
AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic Radio. This is The Morning Quest.
Finding joy in the journey.
With Josh and Allison. Time now to get acquainted with the sainted.
It's 8:30. Good morning, Chuck.
Good morning, Allison. The Korean martyrs take center stage every year on September the 20th, just a few days ago, as we remember and celebrate St. Andrew Kim Tae-jin, priest and martyr, along with St. Paul Chang Ha-sang and their companions, 102 all told, as they too shed their blood and died for the faith. St. Andrew Kim Tae-jin owns the distinction of being the very first Korean-born Catholic priest.
Oh.
He was the son of a Christian convert. Following his baptism at the age of 15, young Andrew traveled 1,300 miles to the seminary in Macau, China. After 6 years, he managed to return to his country through Manchuria. That same year, he crossed the Yellow Sea to Shanghai and was ordained a priest. Interesting path to the priesthood there. Back home again, he was assigned to arrange for more missionaries to enter by a water route that would elude the border patrol. Of course, Christianity was severely frowned upon, more or less outlawed at the time in Korea. But he was arrested, tortured, and finally beheaded at the Han River near Seoul, the capital city.
Wow.
Andrew Kim Tae-jin's father, Ignatius Kim, was also martyred during the persecution of 1839 and was beatified in 1925. So sainthood and martyrdom certainly runs in the family. Paul Chang Ha-sang was a lay apostle and a married man who died in 1839 at the age of 45. So they came after everyone. And among the martyrs in 1839 was, and some of these stories are truly terrible, Columba Kim, an unmarried woman of 26. She was put in prison, pierced with hot tools and seared with burning coals.
Oh my gosh.
She and her sister Agnes kept were kept for 2 days in a cell with condemned criminals. And they, too, were eventually beheaded. Peter Ryu was a 13-year-old boy who had his flesh burned badly, and so badly that he was able to tear it off and pull off pieces and throw them at the judges during his trials, which were essentially a formality at that point. He was killed by strangulation. Protase Chang, a 41-year-old nobleman who apostatized under torture and was freed, later did come back, confessed his faith, and he too was tortured and suffered the martyr's death. Christianity did come to Korea during the Japanese invasion in 1592 when some Koreans were baptized, probably by Christian Japanese soldiers. Evangelization was difficult because Korea refused all contact with the outside world except for taking taxes to Beijing annually. On one of these occasions, around the year 1777, Christian literature obtained from Jesuits in China led educated Korean Christians to study, and a home church began. So it's interesting to see how Christianity and Catholicism blossomed in Korea. A little bit of a non-traditional means, but it's really a lesson to all of us with regard to the power of evangelization through various means and perhaps untraditional, non-traditional channels. But when a Chinese priest managed to enter secretly a dozen years later, he found 4,000 Catholics, none of whom had ever even seen a priest. 7 years later, there were 10,000 Catholics. Religious freedom did, in fact, come to Korea in the year 1883.
Wow.
So besides Andrew Kim Tae-jin and Paul Chang Ha-sang, it was Pope John Paul II who canonized 98 other Koreans.
Wow.
These are the companions that died in their midst, along with three French missionaries who had been martyred between 1839 and 1867. So this was a long, bloody period in Korea. And when he visited Korea in 1984, he performed that canonization. So nice opportunity for him to visit Korea and also canonize
Their home country.
These men who meant so much to their country.
Yes.
And among them were bishops and priests. But for the most part, they were laypersons.
Wow.
47 women and 45 men. So here we see a fascinating story of perseverance, bravery, and love of God. To the very end. And that's how Christianity grows, through the blood of the martyrs, which is
seed of the church, as always. Yeah. But truly, when I listen to what you're sharing, the faith they had, I mean, truly, if somebody came up to us today and pretty much say, denounce Christ, what would we do?
Yeah, that's a very good question. you pray for the fortitude.
Yes.
Right? But
yes.
We know even Peter fell short the first time.
Yes.
But what happened? After Pentecost, he was emboldened.
Yes.
And strengthened to the point where he too would die the martyr's fate.
And we have the Holy Spirit, so absolutely. I mean, are we willing to do what these men and women did? That's the key, right? Yeah. We love you, Jesus. So he is the patron saint of Korea and Korean clergy. And there's also a neat quote here. St. Andrew Kim said, "We have received baptism, entrance into the church, and the honor of being called Christians. Yet what good will this do if we are Christians in name only and not in fact?" And again, they put their lives on the line for everything. I'm sure they were told to denounce their faith, denounce Christ, and they were like, nope.
Yeah.
You know?
And you see the cruelty in which they were tortured before they were killed.
The torture.
Yeah.
And again, it just shows evil exists.
It does.
You know?
It does. And in light of what we're seeing in our country now, where good and faithful people are assassinated and gunned down, we see that this is something that still goes on today, of course. It's going to go on until the end of time, until Jesus returns triumphantly.
Yeah.
But it's good and brave people who lay the groundwork. And much like Charlie Kirk, who I'm obviously referencing here, these men went on, and their death was just the beginning.
Yes.
Because now we see Korea growing in faith, growing in Christianity. All throughout Asia, we're seeing great growth of Catholicism. Still very tricky to celebrate the Catholic faith throughout parts of that continent, but nonetheless, it's growing, and it will win in the end, because the truth wins in the end.
Well, it is, and that's what we're called to do here. You know, wherever the Lord has planted us, we are called to be a witness to others and to share his love with others.
Yeah. Yep. Great saint today. We've had a number of great saints over these last few days, martyrs. The month gets off to a slow start liturgically, but here we are. And of course, we're looking back in this segment, back to the 20th. This year, they were celebrated on a Saturday, so we wanted to get around, didn't want to miss out on them. And, you know, we'll certainly have other saints to close out the schedule. In fact, we'll get around to Saints Cosmas and Damian tomorrow, the twin doctors, the twin brothers who were doctors. Fascinating story.
Yes.
Who would care for people free of charge because the people just couldn't afford the care. And these are early church martyrs. These men lived in the 300s. So, we see all throughout the history of our church, at the right time, the right people step up and they pass along the baton. They fight for the faith. They die for the faith. And it's in large part why we're still able to celebrate freely in our world today.
And that's what we're called to do as well, if that comes about.
Yeah. And you think of the bravery that these men exhibited, and of course, the women, too. In fact, there were more women than men that were martyred as part of St. Andrew Kim Taejon's crew that was with him.
Yeah.
Of the 102, 47 were women. And it makes you wonder, well, what are we afraid of?
I know.
We don't face death, at least not now.
Yeah.
And, you know, these folks gave it all. And as a result, they still bear fruit today. St. Andrew Kim Taejon, St. Paul Chong Hasong, and companions.
Pray for us.
AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic radio. You're listening to The Morning Quest, finding joy in the journey with Josh and Allison.
It is 8:38, and I was going through my email, and Church Pop had a very, very neat link. There is a musical in cinema, Bernadette of Lourdes, that is going to be here in theaters 2 days only, September 28th and the 29th. So that's Sunday and Monday. Mm. And it's Fathom Entertainment is bringing Bernadette of Lourdes, the musical, to theaters across the country. So it's not just here in Atlanta. It's actually throughout the country. And this,
how cool.
I know. The powerful musical originally captured live in France is making its way to U.S. audiences in a big way. You know, you may remember that it first debuted here at the National Eucharistic Congress in Indianapolis last summer. Now, everyone has a chance to experience the story of Saint Bernadette on the big screen. And I mean, after going to France and taking a pilgrimage and, man, being in that, you know, just being in the place where she lived, it is just amazing now seeing that this is going to be here locally where we can go and learn more about her and just experience this.
Yeah, absolutely. And shocked by how many theaters are carrying it locally.
No, I know.
I mean, I'm looking at this right now, like Sunday, September 28th, 4 o'clock, Phipps Plaza, 3, Regal Perimeter, 3, Movie Tavern, Roswell. I mean, it's just, I'm like just scrolling down through all these theaters. It's incredible.
No, absolutely it is. And it's neat. The production is in French with English subtitles, and select theaters will even offer Spanish subtitles. You know, it's based on the real historical records from police and church investigations, showing us the incredible courage of this poor, uneducated, and often sickly young girl. Yeah, Bernadette faced skeptics with honesty, humor, and unshakable faith. So it sounds absolutely amazing. And this year marks the 100th anniversary of her beatification. What a perfect moment to rediscover her life and witness. So if you are looking for something uplifting, faith-filled, and inspiring, grab those tickets and invite your family and friends. And again, it's going to be way more than just a show, right? It's a chance to encounter the courage and faith of Saint Bernadette in a brand new way.
Mm-hmm.
So what do we say to that, Josh? Saint Bernadette of Lourdes,
pray for us. And pay for our tickets.
Josh.
Bad joke.
Coming up on The Morning Quest.
Well, on the horizon, we have Michelle Sagarino, president of Cross Catholic Outreach, discussing the widely popular Box of Joy ministry. And by the way, remember that scripture verse of the week, everybody. Proverbs 12:23. The shrewd conceal knowledge, but the hearts of fools proclaim folly.
Hi. This is Deacon Harold Burke Sivers. Coming up at 4 this afternoon on AM 1160 The Quest, I invite you to join me for Beacon of Truth. Now let's return to The Morning Quest on your Atlanta Catholic Radio.
It is 8:44, and we are so delighted to have Michelle Sagarino, president of Cross Catholic Outreach, and she is going to discuss their widely popular Box of Joy ministry. So welcome to The Morning Quest, Michelle.
Well, thank you, Allison. Good morning, Josh. How are you both doing?
We are doing well. Josh, are you there?
Okay. I am here.
Woo-hoo,
and I'm
okay.
So grateful to unpack this incredible topic.
We're all here together.
Good. That's a good thing.
It is. It is. It is. It is. So, Michelle, for listeners who may not know, what is Box of Joy and how did it begin?
Well, Box of Joy is part of a Christmas box program for Cross Catholic Outreach. We're an international relief ministry, a Catholic international relief ministry that helps in over 90 countries around the world.
Wow.
And since our inception, God has blessed us through supporters like yours to provide $4.8 billion worth of aid to help with housing, water, microfinance, agriculture, and through our travels and supporting missionaries around the world and their great work that they're called to do for the poor, we really realized that many children, although our children are so excited for Christmas, right?
Yeah.
They can barely sleep.
Yes.
They're getting ready to get up in the morning to see what has come and also to celebrate, of course, Jesus's birth. Sadly, many children in developing countries don't experience that. In Haiti and Guatemala and Malawi, most of them have never received a Christmas gift.
Oh, my gosh.
So in 2014, we birthed a Box of Joy gift program. We started with 3,000 boxes going out. And now, 11 years later, into our second decade, 781,000 Christmas box gifts have gone out.
Wow.
Can you believe it?
That is amazing.
I know.
Oh, my gosh.
I know. So
that's
incredible. Last year we were able to provide 135,000 in 8 countries. And this year, if we do the same, we'll hit over 1 million.
Wow.
And your area has done so much. Your listeners have participated and helped in so many ways.
Well, praise God. We do have a generous community here in Metro Atlanta, so we are grateful for that.
Yeah, and why has this ministry become so popular with parishes and schools across the country?
You know, Josh, that is a really good question. When we started out, we thought that schools, that makes sense, right? Children getting boxes, filling them up together. We pick them up and carry them to our screening center and send them to countries. That made sense to us. We thought that would be the largest population of support. But last year, 500 parishes, 138 Knights of Columbus groups. So I think the answer to your question is that we crave a sense of community.
Yes.
That families want something to get together, to wrap their hands into and be active in service and to really live out a liturgical life, to show our children you know, what service looks like and how God calls us to love people we don't even know. We don't even know their names, right?
No,
it's
absolutely.
It's beautiful to watch. Beautiful to watch. Transformational.
Wow. And hello, and you're saying transformational. I think that's the answer probably to this question. What kind of difference does receiving a box of joy make for a child living in poverty? I bet they are just ecstatic.
Oh, my gosh. They are. You can imagine. It could be pure chaos. What happens is we bring the boxes to our screening center, and we make sure there's no chocolates in it, that the schools and parishes haven't put any water in it, right? That would ruin the other boxes when we ship them.
Yes.
And then when they go, when we're in the screening center, we put a rosary and a story of Jesus in it. And
then
the missionaries, the priests, the sisters, the bishops, they'll gather the children to, like, talk about the love of the Lord, to share the gospel, and then give the Christmas gifts. So what do they react like when they open it up? There are cheers everywhere.
Oh.
They're exchanging gifts. You'll see, like, a child off in the corner just slowly looking at each one, just cherishing it. I have a couple of stories if you want me to
absolutely
share.
Please share those definitely. Stories with us. Yeah.
Okay, a little boy named Anthony, he's from Guatemala, said, "What I want to tell our brothers and sisters who brought us this gift is that may Jesus always continue to bless you wherever you go.
Wow.
May he always keep you in his heart." And he is only 9 years old. Or there's a little girl named Dulce who she opened up her box in her bed. You know, she's opening up carefully afterwards. She'd received it from the group and we went to her house. And she was so excited about a water bottle, a simple water bottle, that she could take that water, the cold water that had been provided to her community by our more expansive work, take that water bottle and take her cold, clean water, which is a rarity, right, to school.
Yeah.
So, they're excited. They're so excited.
Oh, my gosh. We are so, seriously, we are, I think until you step out, until you experience these kind of ministries and you do mission work or wherever you're out of the country, you don't see how blessed we are here. We have so much. I think we take so much for granted.
Well, we do, right? We just take water, for example.
Yes.
We, you know, brush our teeth and let the water run. And while the shower's warming up and in these areas as we come in, many times water is the first need. Or housing, their homes are very frail. But, you know, we all need joy. I believe, isn't that part of your mission is
absolutely
to find joy in the journey of faith?
Yes.
And these children, you know, they're not just receiving material aid or this gift, right, this gift of joy. They're receiving the joy of the Lord. They're receiving the church coming alongside of them, and that's how you transform communities.
Amen.
Not just by material aid. And people in the United States get it, that there's something that we receive in that, don't you think?
Absolutely.
There's something we receive.
We talk about this often.
Yeah.
Serving others, it brings so much joy, and serving and helping others. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I agree.
And
your listeners have participated.
Awesome.
Yeah. And so how can families or parishes get involved? Is it, you know, difficult to organize a box of joy drive?
It is so easy. So easy. You go to boxofjoy.org and you'll see right on that homepage at boxofjoy.org an option where, let's say, Josh, you are so busy. Christmas is coming and you want us to pack a box for you. Well, for $36, when you click on that button, we will pack the toys, the school supplies, the basic useful items for them to have and ship it out. If you're a group, there's another icon right there. You click on a group and we will supply all the boxes, the brochures, the posters, so that you can engage with your parish, your Knights of Columbus group, your National Council of Catholic Women, your school, to have the children or the parishioners fill these boxes. That has to be done. If you want your group involved, you have to sign up by October 17th so we can get those supplies to you.
Yes.
And then the last week of November, let's see, November 25th, last week of October, October 25th to November 2nd, we'll send a big truck to pick up the boxes and carry them to our screening center in Miami to get them ready to go across the seas.
Wow.
Oh, so cool.
Easy.
No, that is so great.
Easy. And yeah, I think, I think over 29 parishes and schools in Georgia are currently already signed up. We have St. Pius Catholic High School softball team signed up.
How look awesome at that. Is that I love right? that. Individual teams wow. from schools or parishes. Oh, my gosh. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Go St. Pius.
It's our Catholic Church. Yep, Catholic Church is St. Monica, Queen of Peace,
awesome.
Circle of All Saints Catholic Church, Holy Spirit Preparatory. Oh, that's easy for me to say.
Preparatory, yeah.
And, yes, thank you. Thank you. And so, we find that there's an excitement and there's just a desire, at least there is in our parish, for families to have activities to get together and to share their faith. Mm. It becomes a tradition. Wow. You know, make this a tradition in your family this year, right?
And you know what I like about this, too? You know, I've heard of, Operation Christmas Child from the past, but now knowing that there is a Catholic one, I think that is really special, Box of Joy. So thank you for introducing this to me, because, I mean, this is a game changer, I would say, for all our parishes and Catholic schools and ministries.
It's a great way for children to share their faith, and I agree with you. And we're excited to see people wanting to join it. It's easy. If they go to boxofjoy.org, they can sign up. We're going to hit up probably a million Box of Joy gifts, a million. And, when we first started, we thought, is it really true that children don't receive gifts there? You know, are we exaggerating in any way? We are not. Exaggerating. Mm. This is many, almost all of the time, the first Christmas gift or gift at all that a child has received.
Wow. So Michelle, can you remind us again, where can we go if we want to sign up to have our parish or ministry, or if we want to help support this beautiful ministry, Box of Joy?
Of course, go to boxofjoy.org and you'll see it right on the homepage, and we will do everything to make that as easy as possible for you to get your group engaged.
Wow. Thank you so much, Michelle Sagrignano, president of Cross Catholic Outreach, for discussing this beautiful, beautiful ministry, Box of Joy, that is bringing smiles to faces all across the world. Thank you so much for sharing this with us.
Thank you, Allison. Thank you, Josh. God bless you both.
You too. Have a great day.
God bless you. Thank you.
The Morning Quest keeps on rolling on AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic radio.
Wow. Beautiful, beautiful work.
Yeah, absolutely. And I should mention, by the way, there is still time to participate in the pledge drive. We have crossed over $143,000 to our $200,000 goal. So, and there is $8,000,
nice.
Over $8,000 in matching funds left. So make sure to make your donation, because I hear that expires on Tuesday. Let's utilize those matching funds and make Catholic radio thrive throughout the Metro Atlanta area and beyond. Greater Atlanta area, shall I say.
Mm-hmm. And also today.
And yes, yeah, give them the big news.
Josh, I'm going to give them the big news. So the final hour of our pledge drive will be replayed today at 3:07. That's right after the Divine Mercy Chaplet. And it's a tribute to Monsignor Fennessy. So that's going to be a special one as well for those that did not hear that beautiful hour.
Yeah, and it was so cool to hear from a listener who said she was tuning in during that final hour of the pledge drive and just weeping as she heard Father Silloway and Matt Allen recount the incredible heroic life of Monsignor Fennessy. So definitely be sure to tune into that, especially if you knew Monsignor Fennessy. I think it's just a beautiful tribute to his life, and it's hard to be sad when you listen to it. It's more of a celebration of
absolutely
his yes to God.
And again, I didn't know Monsignor Fennessy. I never met him, so what a beautiful experience. I got to learn about him, and I felt like I knew him after that beautiful hour. So great hour. And also,
fantastic.
Big announcement Monday morning at 8 a.m. here on the Morning Quest. So can't wait to share it.
I'm excited. Well, we love you. We need you.
Oh, gosh.
We'll miss you. I haven't said that in a while.
You haven't. You
My
surprised
used car
me.
Commercial.
I love it.
Glory be to the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Have a great day, and may you find joy in the journey.